Starting therapy is simple with BetterHelp. Finding a therapist that you feel comfortable with and can meet in the privacy of your own space is one of the best things about BetterHelp. And if you're not satisfied with the first therapist, you can easily switch to another one. I connected to a therapist that had the understanding and the skills I was looking for and have really benefited from my time with her. If you're struggling and think you'd benefit from a therapy session, go to betterhelp.com/healingtrauma during sign up and get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a compassionate guide for those seeking to heal and thrive. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach and fellow traveler on the path to healing. In this podcast, we will engage in heartfelt conversation with experts in the field of trauma healing. We'll explore ways to cultivate feeling safe in our bodies and in connection to others, so that we can be present to live the life we've been given more fully and with more joy. Join us as we navigate the way towards a life restored. Introducing your host, Monique Coven.
Welcome, Larissa, to the Healing Trauma Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to talking to you. I know that you put out a book recently. It has to do with generational trauma, and we're going to be talking about shame. And we're going to talk about it in relation to IFS, internal family systems. Maybe first you can introduce yourself, tell us about that book and where you are located in the world.
Okay. Hi, and thank you again for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to just have this discussion. I feel like it's really necessary, especially with the way of the world as we are experiencing it now. My name is Larissa Cresswell, and what I do is help women and teen girls create spaces and where they feel safe and where they're able to reclaim their voice and be able to choose new patterns of life and their way of being able to live and show them that it is possible to do it differently, even when we don't realize or understand why we're doing the things that we're doing, but knowing that is coming from somewhere and that once we become aware of what that is, that we have the opportunity to change it and to do it differently. And so that's kind of what led me to write the book, The Invisible Weight We Carry, Breaking Free from Generational Burdens and the Emotional Baggage, to be able to, I say it every day and do that every day in my office. And I was trying to figure out, like, how do I spread that in a larger way to the people who I can't get into my office, or to the people who feel like it's unsafe, or to people who, like, we don't do that. We don't go to therapy. You keep what happens in this house stays in this house kind of thought process. Like, how do I get that message to those folks? And that was the way that I thought to do that.
Wow. What a legacy. You mentioned the word burdens and legacy burdens, and then creating this book that's out in the world for the world to be able to do something different or learn about a different way and give them understanding. And when we have understanding, there's just this agency that starts to happen within us and hope. So that's a really wonderful thing. There's so many different trauma modalities, and one of my favorites happens to be one of the ones that you use in your practice, which is internal family systems.
Yes.
And as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, a big thing that a lot of us struggle with is this feeling of shame, this feeling that just, like, deep down, I'm no good, or something is really inherently bad or wrong with me. I'm not like other people. Now, up here in our thinking brain, we might have all the evidence that says, no, you're not like that. You went to school, or you have a good job, or you have friends. But inside, you might feel, particularly when you get triggered, that there's something really shameful in here. Where does that come from? And then how would you even begin to look at that with internal family systems? Big question.
Big question. I'm going to try to tackle it as best as I know how. One of the things with internal family systems, we understand that there is what we call an exile, which is a child part, a very young part of us that may exist. And then there's managers and then firefighters. So just to kind of keep it as simple as possible. But the managers may be parts of us that kind of keep us organized and keep the day-to-day task flowing. And then the firefighters are the things that when the experience is too much, too big, they come in and try to put it out. There's a fire that's burning, and whatever it is, whether it's overeating, whether it's substances, we're going to come in and try to squash that intense feeling as quickly as possible. And so when a person is injured, we think about it as there's a point in where there's an injury that occurs. And so whether that was at 2, whether that was at 5, whether that was at 6, whether that was at 7, that is a part of us. And that was the experience that was had. And then that part remains or gets stuck at that point in where the injury occurred. And so if, say, it was at 7 years old, the injury that took place, and what I got from that was, I'm bad. This thing happened, and it's because of me and my doing, and I am bad now, which is what is the shame. So even though the injury occurred at 7, you continue to grow and develop. And as you're growing and developing, you're learning ways to be able to adapt. Whether it is adaptive or maladaptive, you're figuring it out. You're figuring out a way to be able to continue.
So I'm listening to you. I'm picturing it in real life. So growing up, and let's say I got that message, you're a bad girl, you're bad. And then I grow up and I'm adapting. I'm finding ways to not feel that, but then I might start to feel it. And if I start to feel it, you said something about I could find adaptive ways of dealing with that feeling. And you started to talk about that. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly it. The one thing I didn't say is that to think about this is that when we come here to this earth, that we come here with our parts, all of the parts of us, we come here with them. It's the injury that occurs that sends them to be overactive or underactive. So thinking about it as like a pendulum, we're either going to overdo something or we're going to underdo something. And ideally where we want to be is somewhere here in the center. And so say you come here as a thinker, and now that injury has occurred and you're continuing to grow and develop. So now, how do I know how to be able to protect myself and ensure this thing doesn't occur again? Is now I start to overthink. So now there's a part of me that is an overthinker that will try to think ahead. That will ensure that whatever that thing was that it occurred when I was 7, that it will never happen again. And so the overthinker could be viewed as like the manager. We're managing this day to day. What do we need to be aware of ahead of time so that that experience or that feeling, that felt experience, it doesn't occur in the now. And so, well, I'm going to go about my overthinking. And so then if the overthinking is it's going, but that feeling, that felt experience is continuing to happen and it's getting stronger, maybe because there was a reoccurrence of that old experience. There's a new occurrence of that. So now it's layered. It's on top of that. And then just thinking about like when experiences continue to be had and they continue to layer that are either same or similar to that old or that original injury, the intensity of it can increase. And sometimes the manager is not enough. So the firefighter steps in and says, hey, look, you're trying to overthink and it's not, we need this to go away now. And so now that maladaptive, so to speak, way of whatever that is, then kind of comes in. So if you've ever said, there's a part of me that feels like this, and then there's a part of me that felt like that, there's already this subconscious, so to speak, awareness of that there's parts of you that are present. These parts are showing up or developing as you continue to grow as a means to be able to protect the original injury, that seven-year-old that had that original experience. And it can just, the way that I'm imagining, because I'm a visual person, and so I'm seeing like this little seven-year-old in the center and then all these parts that are surrounding this this exile or this young child in doing whatever is needed and whatever they know how to be able to protect and ensure that that injury doesn't occur again.
I used to get kind of overwhelmed with all of these names like manager and firefighter. But then when I looked at it in practical terms, so feeling shame, a part of us is like, that I'm not going to let that happen to you again. Don't you worry. And then a part comes on and wants to the protection might be a numbing. Okay, so that you don't have to feel the shame, we're going to go scroll for an hour on YouTube or internet. And so in practical sense, that makes so much sense. Intention, which I really like, is to protect, to help.
Yes, yes. The intent is to protect, to help, and it's finding the balance of, so is it a problem that you overthink? Not so much, but when it's done all the time, that can be a lot, right? And then it may even bring about other things, other experiences, because I'm always thinking, always trying to be hypervigilant, always on alert. That causes stress in the body, your nervous system. It can create a domino effect. And so getting to this place in where we can be able to just, all right, it's a thought. Yes, and that was an experience. And also being aware that that's an old experience, that I'm no longer in that, but that I'm present in the here and now. And then this idea that there's this self energy, that's another part of the IFS language. And I always to my clients, I always refer to it as like your adult self or your enlightened self, that there's the presence of your self energy that is there and now can make these decisions and make these choices, keep people away. Or keep to ensure that those old experiences don't occur again, that's present. And so that feeling of I am bad or I'm no good doesn't have to be. There's the work to get to it, but that it is possible with these different pieces. IFS allows for, that's just one way. It allows for you to get to that place using these pieces in the technique to get there.
It makes so much sense to me. Often when we do get triggered, we feel young, like we feel childlike, like we have no resources, like we're back there. That feeling is there. We can look in the mirror and see whatever age we are, but we feel it. So I love the reminder that that's a younger part of you. And yes. When you were speaking, I was picturing like a young part of me, and that's what's reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do love that he calls that we come into this world with our essential self or our God image or our, as you said, I don't remember what you
enlightened.
Said. But yeah, like all of that. And that the trauma doesn't touch that. I mean, that's the part that's kind of, what do you mean it doesn't touch that? It doesn't touch that. It can't.
Yeah.
And that just sounds so. So hopeful. And now when we get to shame, though, when we feel those feelings of shame, that feeling just feels so big. Okay, the shame belongs to a younger part. How do you negotiate with those parts to kind of help them see that was then?
Yeah.
Have you ever had those days where everything just feels harder than usual? And you can't quite figure out why. Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It could be my hormones at play. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body, whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product. The quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. One of the best things about Hormone Harmony is how it's become such an essential part of so many women's daily routines. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. In fact, a survey found that 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw improved mood, and 100% said they felt like themselves again. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order with my code HEALING at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEALING for 15% off today.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Connection, connecting with that part, right? So oftentimes, like that feeling comes up and we're like, I just wish it would go away. I don't want it to be here. However, it's a part of us. And so it's like saying, I don't want my hand anymore. I want my hand to go away. No, you need that hand. Even if you don't need it right now, you may need it later. Rather than wishing for that part to go away, that shame, that feeling of shame to go away, but to be aware of it and connect to it, that it's showing up. I always think about it like it's showing up for a reason. What is it needing me to know? It's showing up as a reminder of something. And so what is it externally that is in your surroundings that's bringing that feeling to the forefront? Right? So being curious about that. And then can I have compassion for that 7-year-old who had that experience, who had that injury and that felt that way? Can I have compassion for her? And then can I do this in a calm kind of way? Is there calm in recognizing that, oh yeah, I don't want to make that go away, but I want to pull it in and try to hear from it and understand so I can have understanding of why is it showing up or what is going on around me now, or that what is the experience that what's happening internally that it's coming forward. And so having any of those C's that I just named, like that's the enlightened self. That's the self energy being present. And if there's only one that's present, self energy is there. And so being able to connect to that part. And it's almost like, at least in the way that I see it and understand, like the idea of like reparenting, mm-hmm. right? It's like the self energy, like oftentimes we're seeking it from outside, for outside sources to come in and comfort me, or to say it's okay, or to like protect me, or to whatever is needed, like seeking it from outside. But in actuality, we can do that internally and we can do that for ourselves. And so this idea of this part is feeling really bad about something, or I'm bad that this thing occurred. And for your self energy to be there to provide the comfort and to connect to it, this younger part now becomes aware that this self energy is present, that your adult self is here. And now can there be a conversation between these two parts so that this younger part, even though it may see you or become aware that your adult self is here may not be trusting just yet. And so this idea of connecting, building relationship, to come in relationship with this younger part that is feeling this way, and then kind of working, continuing to work from there.
I can see why it would be really helpful to do this work with someone. I know for myself at the beginning, I was very, and it still happens, they use the word blended. It was hard to feel like, what do you mean it's just a part? It feels like me.
Yeah.
And then getting to know that there is this self outside, especially when you're not used to that, that must take time.
Yes, it's not a quick process. So like if you're going and you're hearing about this technique and like you're interested and you want to find somebody and explore the use of this technique with a therapist, go into it knowing that it's not something that happens fast and is overnight. It's really dependent upon your system. And everybody's system is different. I've had some experiences in where an individual's system is more open to these different experiences and these different possibilities, and therefore some movement can happen maybe a little faster than someone else who, let's just say, like there's complex trauma. There's been trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma, where it really takes a long time to get to that center part because the protectors are around and they are on lock and they have a job to do. And that's to ensure that whatever that part, whatever age, whatever the injury, doesn't happen again.
It's interesting. Some of those parts, it's not just in your thinking brain. There's procedural memory with some of that protection. It is going to take time. Just like when we think about a bicycle, and that was procedural memory. We don't forget how to ride a bike, but we're not really thinking about it. Sometimes some of our protections, because we were so traumatized, they can come right on board. And I don't think for any modality, there's no quick fix. But I've done internal family systems on and off, and it seems each time I do it, it's like I learn more, I understand more that I didn't understand the last time I did it. And I think that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah, I think that's just the nature of the technique and how it works, and that you're having to connect with layers of yourself, and depending on just kind of where you are in your journey, kind of that permission slip that is given to know or to connect and have understanding of certain information at this point in time. And then I have this new knowledge or this new understanding of myself and of my system. And then I come back and then I learned something totally different that I didn't know before. I just had that experience today, and where we've been doing this work, and part of the process is mapping out your parts. It helps to create some awareness of parts that exist that you may not be aware of initially. And so in having this client do this exercise, they became aware of, there were parts that they were already aware of. And so, of course, we included those. And then there was these other parts that they had not yet identified. And that opened a window for our discussion to be a little different just in doing that exercise and having this recognition. Because the way that I also look at it, and the way that I understand my understanding of the method is like, this was the point in where they were ready. They were ready to now that this part could come forward. It wasn't safe before. And now that I'm thinking about it, like I heard that language of like, it wasn't safe. It wasn't safe enough yet for this part to come forward. But this part was holding the line. And so now just being able to connect with it and identify that, it's possible that I don't have to do this anymore, that I don't have to function in this role anymore. Let me think about that. I'm not quite ready to let it go just yet, but let me sit with that. Let me think about that. So for me, in hearing that, it's like, here we go. We're getting to this part in where there's a part of this person that is recognizing that I've been doing a thing a certain way for a long time, and it's been happening out of necessity. And here is how it's been protecting me. There's been a very specific way in how it's been protecting me. It's possible I don't have to do that anymore. And so now we're connecting. Now we're in conversation. Now here's where there's this opportunity of a thing that I've always done, I no longer have to do. And so if I don't do it that way, then what am I supposed to do? Now we get to explore what would this part want to do? What would it rather be doing? Because it doesn't want to do that anymore. But it'd rather be doing something else. And so now we're in this exploration of, well, what do I want it to be? That part. Have you ever thought about that? What do you want it to be versus what it has to be out of necessity in order for me to be able to feel safe or have some semblance of being safe? I don't feel it, but there's some kind of idea of what safety is and to be able to move about and still function in the world.
Wow. Those parts of us that are so caring, but so vigilant. When I think of mine, they're almost like, well, the adults didn't protect you. So here I am. I'm going to make sure that nothing happens to you. But if we recognize, or if I recognize, yeah, but those are little children that are stepping up because adults didn't step up and they don't have the full picture.
Yeah.
And it's very stressful on them. And you know how you feel about parentified children and kind of that's what's happening inside. Do you want to keep doing that? You know, kind of something.
Yeah, to be able to really see your parts as yourself at that time, like that can really make it real in this different kind of way. And it's not something that is so far off and so far-fetched, but that this is, I see her. Or if you have children or you have nieces, nephews, or people who, young children that are just around you and you think about, you see them and what they're doing and how they're functioning and thinking about yourself at that time and what you were doing versus what they're doing now and what that part of you would have wanted to be doing, probably what you're seeing them do right now. And so, and especially for those, you have your own children, you worked really hard to make sure that their experience is nothing like your experience. And so in some ways, it's almost like that is you at each developmental stage that your own children go through. That is you trying to redo for yourself.
You just verbalized it. It's so true. I really tried hard to give my kids a happy childhood. And there was a piece of me in there going, and through your happy childhood, a little piece of me will have a happy childhood. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
And I think I kind of did. You know, when they were running, I was like feeling it in my body. And it felt great, that freedom.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. It's like you're that younger part of you watching, like, that's what it looks like.
Totally. Not having to worry about your parents. They're invested in you. And you could just run. You can just go play in the park. And there's something that you said when we first started that I really liked. You said we come into the world already with parts. And I've heard a few people say that, which opens the door to this fact that we're not just like this one person, this one, but that we have parts. And how it made sense to me was when you said you have this gifting and this is how you came, but then a trauma or an experience happened that was harmful and then it kind of got thwarted. And I really love that idea. I think if we are quiet, we can sense that there are parts of us that are still like that. And sometimes it gets covered with protection, protector parts. No, don't do that. You know, you'll look stupid or people will think you're dumb when really you want to just get up and dance or something.
I think that just in taking in like what you were just saying, it's like, can we allow for ourselves to be free and potentially think outside of what it is that we've always known. And to just allow for, I say just as if that's something simple.
But I get where you're going.
But to allow for this possibility of the unknown, which is really scary, and this possibility of if not this way, then what? And so just being open to being able to explore that. So what if they laugh at me? Maybe I do look funny in trying to do this dance. However, is that what I really want to do? What I really want to do is get up and dance, no matter what I look like.
It's so funny you're saying that. And then I'm hearing it a little whisper in my ear, like the shame part going, you're going to look dumb. See, that's exactly what we're talking about in action.
And so if you do, then what? And so what? Is that what you really want to do? I just want to get up and dance. Yeah, when I look at myself in the mirror, did I think I look like the instructor that up front? I thought I did until I looked in the mirror. But guess what? I was having fun. No matter what I look like. And the other thing that I realized was that, and this actually happened, by the way, like the other thing that I noticed was that nobody was even looking at me. Because they were dancing and they were doing their own thing. And they might have been having a similar type discussion going on internally. And I'm just not aware of it. And so knowing that, all right, that internal voice that it comes up, it kind of sneaks up on you. Sometimes it sneaks up on you, but it's the awareness now. Like you have this awareness of its presence and you have this awareness of the purpose that it's serving. And so now, rather than becoming frustrated with it, having compassion for it.
It's trying to help me not look like what it thinks a fool by me dancing with abandon. And yet, when I'm dancing with abandon, I'm actually free. Mm. You know, which is what we all want.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all we want, to move about in peace and in freedom.
So I'm curious now, your book. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Does it use like IFS? Is it just more like what is it about?
Yeah. So it's more so it talks a little bit about IFS, a little bit about EMDR, just about the modalities that are out there. When I wrote it, I had in mind of different individuals, whether it's people that I know in my life or people when they are initially coming in the door, just some of the questions that they may ask or the misinformation that they may have about trauma. And then also just the idea that it's not just something in your head, but it's also in your body. And so trying to connect the idea of the event that occurred, that it's not just happening in your mind, but it's also there's things that are being held in your body. And what are some ways that you can be able to work through that? Here's what it looks like. Here is what to ask for when you go to therapy. I had that conversation today of someone's like, I just know. So she told me I needed a trauma therapist but I don't know what that is about.
Such an important question. When people are going for therapy, many people just assume, I'm going for therapy, therefore they're going to be trauma informed and they don't know what to ask.
Yes. Yes. So just providing that information and then also just kind of looking at like, what role does society play in the way in which we think, in the way in how we see ourselves? What role does our family play in how we see ourselves and how we move about in the world? And then what I call the almighty, then what about you? What do you think? How do you see yourself and how would you want to? How has your family and how has society, whether they put expectations on you, whether it's been spoken or unspoken? And so kind of exploring that. And then how does that then in turn shift the way in which you either do something or not do something because of that?
Sounds really good. I will put the link in the show notes to your book. Is there anything else before we close that you feel you want to say?
I always say, know that you are the expert of you. Even though it may feel like you question or not necessarily trust the thoughts or the feelings that come up, but nobody knows you better than you. And so to begin this journey, or if you're already on the journey of really trusting that of yourself and that you know what's best for you. If you've got this little nudge going that's saying, but what you really want is this, just take a pause and take a listen to it, because that's coming from somewhere and that's it's meaningful. And to know that you have options where you may not have thought that you had the option to be able to stop and pause and listen to that, that to give yourself that, that there's opportunity and that there's space for it.
Well, thank you for joining us today and having this little introduction to IFS and helping us kind of get a feel for it. I will put in the show notes where people can find you, find your book, your website. If you have anything else going on, we'll put it in the show notes.
I thank you so much.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.